Greetings, brothers and sisters. Since we're all getting ready for camp meeting, I thought it might be useful to jump in here and talk about that in this episode. And then after camp meeting, when we come back, I'll return to my discussion with Brother Brian about the sanctified life. We've got a number of scripture to unpack and a lot of things to talk about with that, so that'll be coming. But today, I just want to make a few remarks about camp meeting and provide some encouragement and information about it. The concept of camp meeting is actually an American invention, and they were originally evangelical in nature. So the first camp meeting ever recorded was a very early 1800s, broke out in a place called Cane Ridge, Kentucky. And what had happened was essentially a couple of preachers had held a meeting at a certain place that was out of doors and invited some people to come, and the power of God really moved on the meeting. And as people were converted and the word went out into the countryside, out around that particular area, people began to load up their wagons and bring provisions and come, and they all began to congregate on this place that where the preachers were. Even other preachers began to come. The meeting lasted for several weeks, and it wasn't really planned that way the first time. It was more spontaneous. It was just the work of God. And there were preachers of different denominations. Everybody was working together for the saving of souls. And as the word went out around, it had a drawing power. And people who lived in that area began to come and camp. And that's what they did. And so after that, those preachers were marked forever by that experience. And they realized right away in the wake of that, that this was an ideal way in the sparsely populated frontier states just to the west of the Appalachian Mountains, Tennessee, Kentucky, Ohio. It was an ideal way to get people to congregate to preach to them. And so they began announcing camp meetings and making plans, and the whole concept of camp meeting was born, and it was dramatically successful. They even brought it further to the east, and in those early years before the Civil War, camp meetings were responsible for bringing thousands of people into the faith. So what I'm pointing out to you is that they were evangelical in their origin. Now, when our camp meeting was born, the motive was a bit different. And I think it's important to note because it remains that way to this day. Our camp meeting was not designed to reach to people living around the campground in a sparsely populated way. It was actually designed to be a gathering place for our various congregations to come together. The congregations who were working in different towns around the Southeast is where the evangelical work was happening of the church. That was the evangelical arm, and the purpose of camp meeting was to bring everyone together. It was an internally focused effort to create unity and encouragement, to shore up our theology, to take care of business. Yes, and also they did have interest in having a cemetery with a common burial place. There was an idea of a place where members of the church could come in their later years, and the Lord has really blessed it. In my opinion, camp meeting remains the most vital operation of our church to maintain fellowship and harmony among the crowds. So, because it has such a lofty purpose, and all of the infrastructure there is built for spiritual purposes, and so it ought to demand our greatest respect. So we want to conduct ourselves in a way that honors that purpose. It is not a vacation destination. We're not just down there to have a good time or just to get together in a social atmosphere, but we want everything that we do to maintain an atmosphere that supports the worship of God, because that's what's central to the camp meeting. So we want to keep spiritual priorities at the center of all that we do. When we're going into town, when we're having conversations with one another, be in the cafeteria, when we're in our cabins, everything is contributing or distracting from the worship of God. So let's be very mindful of that and make sure that all that we do is to build up the purpose of what the camp meeting's for. Now, back in episode 4, I was speaking with Brother Raya about our worship style. And because our worship style delegates responsibilities of the worship service among a larger group of people, and we all more or less bear some responsibility in the outcome of the meeting. So it's very important that we are paying attention and willing to contribute, doing what we can do, listening to what has been said before you and paying attention to the congregation, being sensitive to what the Spirit is doing in the meeting, and then finding, allowing the Lord to move us if it's His will or not move us to whatever it is that we feel like the Lord is leading us to do. But we want to be cognizant of that as we move down there. Let me read to you a passage from 1 Peter chapter 4 that highlights this a little bit, beginning with verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So in there, we are reminded that whatever it is that we're doing, whatever operation we're doing, we want it to be for the glory of God. It's not to build up any person. It's not to be seen. It's not to be heard. It's all for the glory of God. We do it according to the ability which God giveth, that He may have the glory. So that's a good admonition from the Scripture there regarding that. But testimonies are a very important part of camp meeting, so make an effort, if you feel led, to share your testimony at some point during the week down there. They don't have to be long to be effective. They don't have to be dramatic to be powerful. But they do need to be authentic, and an authentic testimony that's genuine and heartfelt supports the word that is preached. And as those two things work together to witness to the congregation, it's like in the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established. So when the congregation hears the word preached and then they hear the testimonies that support the word, to say, hey, this is what God's done for me. I found this to be true. This is what happened in my life. Like, we actually have a real life application. Together, it's a very, very effective and powerful tool in the hand of God to convert people to the faith. And the last thing I want to mention today is prayer. Now, I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and read to you a passage out of this chapter, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And so what we see here at the end of the this description of the armor of God, after the soldier in the army of the Lord has completely clothed in the armor, he is in a praying posture. That's so important. It's actually a part of the armor. When you are when you're wearing all the stuff, you've got the helmet and the shield, and you're fully prepared to meet the onslaught of the enemy, and then that soldier is found in prayer, the enemy cannot break him. So we're exhorted to pray always with all prayer and supplication. So how does this pertain to camp meeting? Well, we intend to pray. And that brings up a distinction between public prayers and private prayers. And I want to point out that both of them are biblical. I've heard people express for years a sense of discomfort with praying out loud in church. And if you're called on to pray, maybe it gives you anxiety or you don't feel comfortable with that. And that's completely understandable because it's not the same thing as praying on your own. It's not really even intended to be. It's different. And that's okay. We need to recognize that both are necessary. Both are biblical. Private prayer is the breath of the Christian life. It's something that is the Christian is called to do daily. We can't even start a relationship with God without private prayer. The process of prayer is what saves us from sin, and then it also is that which keeps us on the way. Private prayer is vital. It's vital to the survival of the Christian. But the scripture does teach the need for public communal prayer. Private prayer builds up the individual. Family prayer builds up the family unit. And public prayer builds up the church. And a praying church builds up the society. And it's only possible to have a praying church if it is made up of praying members. So it all starts in private prayer in your own prayer closet. Now, maybe you wonder why we pray, because, you know, God is omnipotent and He knows our thoughts and He knows our needs before we even ask them. So why do we go to the trouble? And I'll tell you why. We pray because Jesus prayed and He taught us to do the same. We pray because our need for Him is great, and we need wisdom. We aren't born with that. James tells us that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And do we ever need that? We need it to know how to manage our affairs, how to operate our life, how to meet the responsibilities that we all face on a daily basis. We need to know how to meet the enemy. We need to know how to recognize the enemy. We need to know how to interact with the world in a way that would promote the gospel of Christ. This is not just innate knowledge. We need God to teach us. We need to know how to communicate with one another. We don't know much. We need all kinds of wisdom. So our need for Him is so great. And we need Him all every day, every hour. And that's another reason we pray. We pray because the lost world needs us to pray for them. We pray because somehow it reaches the heart of God and changes outcomes. And I can't even explain that entirely, but I know it does. It's almost like planting a seed in the ground. And the scripture says, and it brings forth a bud, and you know not how. I can't entirely explain the way that prayer changes outcomes, but I just know that it does. And I know the scripture teaches us to pray. So it's in all of our interest to have a spirit of intercession at the camp meeting, that our time together in prayer would flow together and would bring our petitions before God authentically and fervently with a real meaning. And I want to encourage you, too, if you are dealing with problems, you have things in your life that you want your brothers and sisters to pray with you about, I want to encourage you to attend the prayer meetings. And there's people there that would be happy to pray with you. And that's an ideal venue to kneel with your brothers and sisters and bring your petitions to God. So let's do it. Let's begin now and begin to pray for camp meeting, pray for one another, and pray for ourselves. Well, may we pray authentically and fervently and really give the Lord our best time and our interest. Put our mind, engage that into spiritual things, and let our petition be known to Him that He might bless us and that He might have the glory. So I haven't done this before, but I think I'm going to close today in prayer. It just feels right after we've had this discussion. And, well, you all can pray with me in your heart if you're driving down the road or you can't physically kneel. That's understandable. You're probably not in a place listening to this where that may be appropriate. And if not, that's fine. You can pray in your hearts. Let's pray together. Lord, you're our God, the one that saved us and washed us from our sins in your own blood, and we're eternally grateful for that. We love you, Lord. We love you because you first loved us, and you sent your Son to die for us, and we want to always honor and be grateful for that sacrifice, and we're thankful for that today. God, we come to you because you've asked us to come, and we come to you today and with such a great need, but we're thinking about our camp meeting and we ask that you would bless it. We ask that you would bless our efforts. May it build up the kingdom. May you have the glory. May you have the honor. May everything, every person that speaks, may every song that is sung be to your honor, to your glory. May it operate to build up the spiritual lives of this people. That way we may go back to our local congregations with a new desire, a renewed alignment of our focus, and a new interest in building up your kingdom and working for the church. Help us, God, to do that. Bless that time down there. We ask for your spirit of love and compassion to be strong among us. Help us to love one another more. Help us to respect one another, to realize what you're doing in each other's lives, and just honor you in all that we do. May all of our activities and behavior honor you, glorify you, and lift up the kingdom of God. This we pray. And we ask this all today in Jesus' name.